You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll have Bart back tomorrow. That has been guaranteed. That has been confirmed. Bart will be back tomorrow. So you get one more day of Han Solo. And as you know, as we've set it up, that's where you come in. We do this together. It's a collective. We talk to each other. And so therefore, the buffet is open. And as we like get into all the different things to talk about today, and I was on Get Up again this morning, and very spirited basketball conversations to have. No doubt about that after what we saw last night. The Boston Celtics won a game to avoid a sweep. And I have to laugh that it just turns into, can the Celtics be the first team to come back from an 0-3 deficit? That's the question. And I got to be honest with you. When the producers asked me that question, like normally, like again, the Lakers and the Nuggets, you're like, no, they're not coming back, right? But I kind of feel like, could they? Could Boston actually come back in this series? It's a question that we will ask in the show. So that's one of the questions. But the other one is this. Are you afraid of squirrels? Like squirrel, like you see a squirrel. Normally they run away, right? But it depends on what kind of squirrel. Like you, there's certain neighborhoods or where you live. There's certain squirrels that they could give a damn where you are. Like you see them and they're just kind of like, they get used to people being around. But it's a squirrel. Like, there's nothing really scary about a squirrel. It's a squirrel, right? That's it. And so that video that went viral from Yes Network last night at the Yankees game, where a squirrel was just kind of tiptoeing. He was like going down like the, it was the outfield wall. It was like a gymnast going along the beam, you know? But the reaction that people had to the squirrel were hilarious. There's a bunch of guys that were sitting right there, and they all looked panicked, like they'd never seen a squirrel before. Like there was something scary about it. Like a raccoon, you know, like when it comes to neighborhood rodents, like there's certain ones that you know, like, man, I'd pay this thing no mind, right? Like you'll see certain things, and you'll just be like, yeah, it's nothing. There's a squirrel. Yeah, he's running around. You just clap your hands, he'll go running. I mean, they're afraid of their own damn shadow. All they're really trying to do is just find wherever they put their acorns.
Can you snatch my nut?
Yeah, they're looking for those. That's right. So it's a squirrel. It's not a big deal. But when you see a raccoon, like, you don't know what they're up to. See, raccoons have that certain look about them where you just, like, you know they're up to something. You don't trust them. So it's like you see one and you're like, all right, either you did some damage or you're trying to do some damage. And, you know, you find any ways to get them out of there. But you don't mess with them, though. The raccoon you don't mess with because they're nasty. So I'm not afraid of the squirrels, but these guys are afraid of squirrels. I can tell you a quick squirrel raccoon story. And this is when you know you've moved pretty far into the suburbs. Because, like, in some neighborhoods where there's house upon house upon house, you don't really get a lot of raccoons. Squirrels everywhere, but not a lot of raccoons. But when you're in like neighborhoods where there's a little more space and there's more woods, like I live near a wooded area, and you start to like realize, like, man, they're all over the damn place. Like, believe it or not, we've had coyotes. Like, it's weird. And it's not like I live like in the middle of nowhere, but it's just in this space you live. So we have foxes. It's true. There's foxes around here. But so we had a raccoon one time. We're coming home. And the raccoon's on top of the garbage can. And, you know, like, you know what he's up to. Like, that's the thing with raccoons. Like, they make it obvious. Like, I know what you're up to. I know what you're trying to do. You're going to tear up the can. They're going to have a bag of garbage all over my driveway. And I'm going to have to clean this up. And I don't want to do that because it's a mess. So don't make a mess. See, we try to get him out of there. So we're making all kinds of noises. Nothing. He's just sitting there staring like, what are you going to do? And so we had just got back from a hockey tournament. My son was younger. And I told him, like, take your stick and, like, try to, like, bang your stick. So he's banging the stick, nothing. Raccoon's just looking at him like, yeah, okay. I know what you, that doesn't bother me. I'm not scared. So I put a puck down. I go, fire the puck at him. See if that makes him run. So my son fires a puck at it. It hits the garbage can, like, bang! Raccoon just, like, looks down, then looks up, but, like, slowly. Like, he does that, like, looks down startled. Then he does that slow, like, look up. And he's like, oh, you missed. And so now I'm a little intimidated. So I hit another one at him. So he whizzes one right by him. Nothing. No reaction. And then the next one he shoots, it like hunches, like he gets on its haunches and it like hunches over and it almost looks like, is he going to jump at us? Like, what's he going to do? So, you know, like being, you know, a dad that wants to impress his son and, you know, protector of the family, I step forward. I look at that raccoon, and I press the garage door button and closed it. Hell with that. I ain't messing with that thing. Go ahead. Take the garbage. Whatever's in it, it's yours. I'll clean it up later, sir. That's where I was. I got a hawk story. I'm a lot tougher in that one. I'll tell that story some other time. 800-919-3776 is the number. But the squirrel was only part of the story last night at Yankee Stadium, because the other part of the story is what's happening right now with this Yankee season. And what's happening right now with Aaron Judge in these moments. What was the biggest concern that you had at the end of last season? Especially, it ended poorly. But last season was a dream season for Aaron Judge. And we followed along and we enjoyed it. And he won MVP. And he 62 home runs. He gets the Yankee record. He gets the American League record. Like, it was historic. It was a moment. And then we all knew, well, they got to pay this guy. And they did. Pay this man his money. And that's what they did. And they should have. They did the right thing. But you still always had that, you know, like, man, he's not going to have another season like this. Like, that was, it was unbelievable what he did. Yeah, he's a good player, but, like, we always do that. We see something and we wonder, can we trust it? And Aaron Judge is one of these players that I've always felt, you got to trust that. Because there's nothing fugazi about Aaron Judge. Nothing. The guy is genuine. You know he's a worker. Read a great profile of him, just about how he is with his teammates and the stuff that he does behind the scenes. Nobody really talks about how he's the type of guy that will go like to not like the bougie batting cages. He'll go to the old ones with like the younger players or the guys who are prospects. Like, this is just who he is. It's his personality. He checks in on people. You know, he cares about you. A genuine human being, a genuine ball player. Wants to get better. Like, not somebody that'll get the bag and then just pull the chute. Like, I got paid. Now I'm going to live off this. Like, you know he's not like that. But it was important to me for him to come off a season like that and just, like, I always tell my son this, too, as an athlete. I always say, don't give people a reason. You never give them a reason. You know, and that obviously means to criticize, to take away your playing time, like, you know, to question you. Like, that's always something I always say. You live by that rule. Don't ever give anybody a reason, because people are always looking for a reason now. Like, you know that, right? No matter anything that's good that's going on in the world, in our city right now, anything that's good that's going on that you could try to say, you know what? Like, all this stuff sucks, but that's pretty good. Kind of like that. Like, anything that might have happened, a change that happened that maybe like a politician did or administration made a change, and then you want to acknowledge it. Like Penn Station, it's like, it's pretty good, right? LaGuardia Airport, it's pretty nice. It's pretty good. But you know what you're waiting for. A reason. Give me a reason to say, yeah, nah, they screwed up. Nah, it's a mess. Oh, this is terrible. Like, that's how we are instinctively, especially here in New York. That's how we are. We want to find that reason. So don't ever give people a reason. Don't give them a reason. So Aaron Judge, the start of this season was all about that. Don't give people a reason to second guess it. The money that you got, the adulation you got last year, the success that you had. Don't give people a reason. The slow start, that gives people a reason. Remember, the hip injury, we felt a little pull. Remember that? Felt a little pull. That gave us a reason for a minute to go, oh, here we go. He's hurt. There we go. This guy gets hurt. This is what he does. Like, you know That's the initial reaction. You give him a reason. But he wasn't gone for long. When he can, since he's been back, I mean, he's been money. Since he's been back, he's been an incredible, impactful player who, most importantly, is impacting winning. And that's what the Yankees have been, winning. They're over. They're 10 games over 500. They are winning baseball games. Last night's comeback win was special. And it, again, first of all, as you know, the first time in a very long time, you got a series against the Baltimore Orioles that you're like, all right, you know, this should be a good series. Normally, it's not. Normally, this is like, you know, this is the Gleyber Torres get right games, right? Like, he rakes against teams like this. Like, normally, games against the Orioles, you're wondering, oh, where is it? You know, is it down Baltimore? Because, you know, they're going to hit a ton of home runs. Like, normally, it's like that kind of thing. But this felt like an early season, dare I say, litmus test. Which is ridiculous when you consider Baltimore. They haven't done anything in years, and they're a young team. How are you testing yourself against that? They should be testing themselves against you. They probably are thinking of it that way. But for the Yankees, because it was a slow start, because, you know, you have all these injuries that I'll update you on in a minute, that so many things were going on with this Yankees team that you felt like it was a stumble out of the gate kind of start. That you're like, all right, let's see how they match up against this team, the Baltimore team that has not stumbled. They have sprinted out of the gate. That for a first time in a long time, people in Baltimore are feeling pretty good about their team and what they can be. I mean, they come into the series 31-16. So it was a test for the Yankees to see, you know, how are you? How much can we believe in what we've seen lately? And then Gerrit Cole gave up a couple of home runs and just has those every now and then Gerrit Cole start where he just gives up the long ball. And in a blink of an eye, it's 4-0. But there was a lot of game left. And as I'm watching the game, I just kept telling myself, yeah, this isn't going to end like this. Like this is going to be a game. And then sure enough, a little small ball here and there, and it's 4-4. And Gerrit Cole gives up more runs. It's 5-4. But it's the fact that you just felt like this team is not a flop. But then it goes back to, like I said, the Aaron Judge aspect of this all. Is you still needed a hero. You still needed something to happen magical. Something where you just felt like, okay, I believe what I'm seeing right now and what the Yankees are doing. And that was Aaron Judge. One out, home run in the ninth. And next thing you know, you are now playing for the win in the 10th inning. And it's the kid, Volpe, who comes through. So it starts to me with your best player. Always does. We'll talk about this when we get to the NBA playoff stuff. Pretty much every sport, your best player sets the tone. And for Aaron Judge, that's what he has done. What he has done over the start of this season is, like, I'm not even going to use words like remarkable, because it's not. It's him. It's a standard that Aaron Judge has now set. This is who I am. When I'm healthy, this is who I am. Because look at his career now. We should not be surprised. We should not be caught off guard. We should not be anything other than, yep, that's who he's supposed to be. And when you got a guy like that, you got a chance. Because he is an impactful player. And look, not to undermine what Anthony Rizzo has done hitting after him too. Rizzo's been great. They got through the injury part. They're getting healthier. But more importantly, they're getting healthier just by set. Just look at them. They just look better. Like, it looks right. Which is why last year's run at the start of last season had me anxious. And I've said this to Bart many times. It had me anxious because I'm watching and it just was too easy. Like, it looked too easy. And I was like, it's not going to be this easy all year. Like, the trouble's going to come. How do they get themselves out of trouble? Like, how are they going to react when trouble comes? Because this is too easy. And sure enough, trouble came. And by the end of the season, you could just see it. They were getting swallowed up by it. You had Judge and his run to 62, which I feel like as much of a blessing it was on many levels for him financially, for the Yankees, for their fans. It was fun. But it did overwhelm him a bit, didn't it? It did kind of exhaust him a little bit. And you could just, I mean, he was almost relieved that it was over. He did it. Great. But it was, there was just a lot of anxiety at the end of the season. So I felt like the start of this season, I don't want it to be another one of these burst out of the gate, run away with it type of things, and then worry about, remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And that's what they always tell you when you run marathons. You get out of the gate, this is nice. You want to get a little distance, but then you got to get into a pace. So they stumble a little bit, the Yankees did. But they still, 10 games over 500, that's a great place to be. And now that they're there, here's the pace you want to now hold for a while. 10 over, right here. Just hold this pace and then build as the as your pitching gets healthier, as more bodies can return, Stanton, and you just start to build till by the end of the season, you're downhill, flying downhill, feeling good. But the only reason why you can do this and get through injury, all that stuff, is because of what you have in Aaron Judge. You have a guy that when the moment needs him, he's ready for it.
Well, I didn't think I got it in the beginning, you know, just because I'm so geared up for the heater. You know, I didn't want to be late on that. That when I made contact with that, I really didn't, really wasn't sure what was going to happen. But, you know, once I saw the reaction from the dugout and the outfielder, I knew we, you know, tied it up and, you know, time for Volpe to go out there and do his thing.
You got to love that, too, when a guy says, I didn't think I got it, and he hit an absolute bomb. I believe it was a sinker. It didn't really sink, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think the pitch was that it was a sinker that stayed up, and it's, look, he tagged it. But he's in the moment, and that's what matters. But you know what else you like about him is that he seemed to have, you heard him mention Volpe, right? Like, he's quick to do that. Let's just make sure I make a point that this ain't about me. All I did was tie it. We still had to win the game. And that's what happened in the 10th when Volpe gets up and hits a sacrifice fly, hits it deep enough, and he knew it. And that's kind of cool. And the best part is that it was Judge who felt the best about his teammate coming through. The team success is what matters most. That makes a great captain. That makes a great leader. And that's why I said this guy's not Fugazi. Like, that's why I've said this. He's genuine. What you see in him is legit. This is not somebody that has been pumped up. This is not somebody that is overhyped. He is hyped. Right level. Exactly. He's got a standard that he has set. That when healthy, look at his career. When healthy, he is one of the top players in the sport. That's a given. But then you take the talent and then you take the personality of who he is, and that's a genuine personality, a genuine leader who genuinely cares about his teammates and cares about team success and was thrilled when Volpe made that sacrifice fly to help them win the game. And he and Rizzo run out there, and they just dump the ice all over the kid.
First big walk-off there in a big situation in a game that we were down. And, you know, he's been swinging the bat well all year. You know, he's hitting it hard right at guys and, you know, really hasn't been getting rewarded. So to see him come up there in a big situation, win us the game, you know, Rizzo and I were pretty excited. We couldn't let him get off without a little bit of water.
Yeah, it's a little bit of water, right? But that's, again, that's why what you see from the Yankees right now, buy into it. Buy into it with all your money. You can fully believe in what they've got. I'm still frustrated with Brian Cashman. I'm frustrated with the fact that there are injuries to this team. But what I want to see is what the pieces that he has, can it win? We saw last year. Yes. Yes, it can. Definitely can. And Gerrit Cole, who started the game, was terrible. He did not pitch well. He got to 2,000 strikeouts for his career, third fastest in baseball history to get to 2,000 strikeouts. Tip your cap, congratulations. I'm sure the last thing he wants to do is celebrate that, because for him, that's an unacceptable start. So not only do you survive a start from Cole, that generally he's the guy that's helping you get your dubs while everybody else is injured, you survived it because of Aaron Judge and company. But don't mistake it for a minute now. I'm not waving banners and talking about how this is great. I still have skepticism about this team getting to the end. And that, of course, the end is getting over the hump, beating the Astros, who had just had an 8-game winning streak. Like, I worry about that more than anything because I'm not quite sure this team is built enough to get there. What I do know is they've got a star. They paid him, and he's worth it for now. Years from now, you could complain about the contract, but you can't right now. Because he backed up last year with so far a great start this year. That's what you're looking for. But Cashman, still in the crosshairs. Sure, they moved on from Aaron Hicks, and that's fine. You start getting rid of some of the pieces that you know are just the dark clouds hanging over the team. The little reminders of some mistakes that you got to get over this. You can't keep perpetuating these mistakes. But now, some good news. Carlos Rodon, back with the team. And I think that's by design. Make sure he's around the team. Let's let him be seen. Let the media see him. That's important. Throwing on the field at the stadium, let the fans see him. That's important. So he's throwing from distance. They're still hoping that he can start throwing from the bullpen mound by the end of the week. He wants to do it. He's not feeling as much pain. He's not feeling anything, in fact, he said, after the cortisone shot, which is a great sign. But don't think for a minute that they have him. Let's get him around here. Let's make sure everybody sees him. He's got to be seen because he was the big offseason acquisition. He's supposed to be your second starter right after Gerrit Cole. Good news is Severino's back. There's your 1-2-3. So that's supposed to start building it together. But Rodon is a linchpin. It's so important that they get him right. And then he could pitch for most of the season. But it didn't sound good for a while there. So they got him out because they want you to see him. Now there's Stanton. Stanton's a big part of this lineup. When he's healthy and Judge is healthy and Rizzo, are you kidding me? I mean, that's a brutal lineup to face for any pitcher during the regular season. Trying to get him right. They took some batting practice. He, Josh Donaldson, get him right and just see how much they can just get this team as close to being full as possible so you can really get an idea of what they are. But I know one thing that they are is they're good enough because they have Aaron Judge. What a performance by him. It was great to see. And, of course, for the kid Anthony Volpe, when we were deciding whether or not he should make the, you know, like, the Yankees should award him and let him start the season on the roster. He earned it. And then it was up to him to prove that he belonged. We're not at the end of May yet. And has he proved that he's belonged? Has he? And that moment that he had last night, it's pretty cool. This is what's fun also when you're watching a team and you have a player like this because you're easily rooting for him. Kid that's easy to like. Very talented, as you can tell. And you just want to see him get off to a good start. So he has his first walk-off moment, and he just discussed it with Meredith Marakovic.
I don't know if it's really hit me, but yeah, it's definitely one of the best feelings I've ever had.
I mean, how cool is this? At Yankee Stadium, kid grew up a fan, like all that stuff. Like, how great is this? So that was fun to see. It's great to see. But Aaron Judge, tell me if I'm wrong. He is as advertised. Don't be surprised anymore by this stuff. You don't need to be in awe. This is what he does. Last year was not a fluke. Last year just proved this is who he is. He's worth the money, and he is the face of this franchise.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll grab a couple of Yankee calls. We'll discuss things with you. We've got some football to get to. Dan Graziano going to join us top of the hour off of Jets and the OTAs and some other things going on around the league. And, of course, last night the Celtics hold off elimination. They get a win. They force a game five, avoid the sweep. And they got us on Get Up this morning talking about can they be the first NBA team to come back and win a series after being down 0-3. But on the basketball side of things, I wanted to point this out because it's something that went around real fast. Like, it was pretty quick how it got around the circuit as we were just getting off the air on Get Up this morning. And I have yet to see anything updated from it. But there was a series of Instagram posts from Ja Morant. Now, you remember, it was earlier this season, he had a picture of himself, or actually he was caught on camera, I believe. He was in a strip club by himself, cash all over the place. He had a gun out, and that was a bad look. The league gave an eight-game ban. Then at the end of the season, you've got him on Instagram singing a song with his friends in the car, and he's brandishing a gun. And so now the Grizzlies have, they don't really suspend him. They're not playing any games, but he's not allowed around the team right now. And everybody's just, you know, wondering, like, what's going on with this guy when he already knew that was that's a stupid thing to do when everybody's already looking at you like, yo, you got to clean up your act, when the commissioner meets with you and tells you that. But there's just something going on with him and whether it's just behavior that is very curious for someone of his status, stature, guy that's got $200 million coming to him, fully guaranteed, and a great player that everybody loves. So he's going through all this controversy, turmoil, whatever it is, and he puts up a series of Instagram stories today. And I think it's just that we're wondering, what does it mean? So probably thinking too much into it. Hopefully thinking too much into it. So the first one is a picture of his sister who just committed Division I and to play basketball. And he has a picture of her. He says, congrats, baby girl. Live yours, with a heart. Then he has a picture of his mom sitting courtside pregame while he's warming up. And it just says, love your ma. Again, blue heart. Then there's a picture of him and his father, who famously sits courtside and is seen all the time. Remember, he's the guy that looks like Usher. And they're embracing on the court after a game, it looks like. Love your pops, again with the blue heart. Then there's a picture of Ja on the court with his daughter. And she's standing with him, and he's giving her a high five. And he says, you the greatest, baby girl. Love you. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff, right? Just showing love to the people closest to him. It's the last picture of the series of posts that has everybody going, what is this all about? So it's all this love to his family. And then the last picture is him being interviewed on the court by TNT. But all you see is the microphone. And him, like, it's to the side or back of him, so it's not his face. And the only thing he wrote was, bye. B-Y-E. Like, as if to say, goodbye. So, right away, would you be worried? Right away, if you had a friend that did that, you know, like, all his loved ones, sister, mom, father, daughter, and then the last thing is, bye. How would you react? What would be your instinct when you saw that IG post? Now, it has been since deleted. They've all come down. They weren't up for long, but as you know about social media, as they say, well, you know, Instagram stories, they don't really, they come down after 24 hours. Doesn't matter. You could delete it. Somebody's already screen grabbed it. That's just how it goes. So you see that in that order, are we overreacting? Or should we be concerned for Ja Morant? 800-919-3776. I mean, it's concerning. He's got almost 10 million followers. There's enough people there that love him and care about him and are also confused by his behavior of late. And whether it's the gun stuff, whether it's the alcohol that, you know, some people have suggested he's, you know, he's really got a problem with. He's got a ton of money. And now he's got a lot of people that over the last couple of weeks have been calling him out for this behavior and what he's doing and who he's not. But he's living this sort of thug life personality where, and this is what other people are suggesting. I'm just looking at it from the outside. But I mean, there are gang members who are in hip hop who are calling him out saying, you think you live this life? This ain't your life. Don't pretend like he's, you know, he's fronting. And so these people are calling him out publicly. What's going on with him personally as he's dealing with all this stuff? And then what is it? Is it a cry for help? Is it just he puts this stuff up just being nice? And we're all going, wait, why are you saying you love everybody and then say bye? What does that mean? So how would you react if this was a friend of yours and a series of posts like that appeared? 800-919-3776. It's just, you know, one of those things that we don't want to overreact, but you don't want to underreact either. Let's grab a couple of calls here. As I said, we were opening the show with the Yankees and talking about Aaron Judge and more heroics last night and a comeback win that just lets you know, as a team went 10 games over 500, that, okay, stumbled out of the gates, but now seems to be finding their stride as they still have to get healthy. Let's start with Michael in Jersey City. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, Han?
Good.
Listen, no offense. I was hoping Bart might be up in the studio today because I heard him throwing all that shade at Aaron Judge last week when he was up in Toronto, and I was trying to give him an earful.
Yeah, you know, you notice, right? You notice that he's not around for this, but
yeah, you know, we can always bring it up. Found, exactly.
We'll bring it up again tomorrow. We'll make sure he has something to say about it.
Just really quick, I just want to make a point about the Yankees and then just one really brief point about Aaron Judge. I'm a big Yankee fan. I love this team this year. These two dudes, Bader and Volpe, are like spark plugs, bro. And they got him placed in the lineup to just fuel like contagious energy. I love it.
Yeah.
And Bader's like, when you think about the Yankees matching up against Houston, like Bader's that little psycho who, like, you're in an alley fight. Like, that's not the dude you want to go up against. There's something off about him. I love it. He's crazy.
Yeah. But, isn't Bader is sort of a, somebody tweeted this to me. Bader is sort of what Clint Frazier was supposed to be, right?
He's not. He's like a
high motor, high
Yankee.
Energy.
Like, he's not really. Yeah, he's not your typical Yankee. He's like, you could see him fitting in a couple other teams, being like the spark plug, the high energy guy. But he's perfect for this lineup, dude. I love it.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I got a question that I scratch my head a lot about because everybody's always like, listen, anybody loves baseball. And you watch Aaron Judge play baseball. Like half the time you watch him play, your jaw's on the floor. This isn't a bash on Aaron Judge, but. Listen, the question before the offseason, during the signing, and now nobody wants to talk about it, is this dude's career numbers in the postseason. He's 211 batting average, 13 home runs, 25 RBIs, and 772 OPS. He's one bad series away from being under 200 for a batting average in postseason.
Yep.
Like, nobody wants to talk about that. These guys' bats all disappear in the playoffs. Nobody says anything right now. And the worst part about being a Yankee fan this year, and I'm going to end with this, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when Cashman's out here pleading with people, don't give up on us.
Yeah.
Listen, you're a Yankee, okay? You can be 10 games under 500. You don't beg people for respect.
I didn't like that.
Come on, bro.
I know, Michael. When I saw that quote at the time, I think we talked about it then too, and I was just like, when you are saying don't give up on us, that's almost like you're telling on yourself. That's like you looking at what you've got, the product you put out there, and in your head you're going, yeah, people are going to give up on this. You know, you know that people, like, you're saying this is what I'm thinking, and you're revealing that when everybody else is going, none of us were talking about giving up. It's May. Like, what are you talking about?
It's May.
So I think Cashman told on himself a little bit there in where he was in his feelings when the team stumbled out of the gate and then everybody was hurt, including, you know, what the most important acquisition he made in the offseason that didn't include a player on his own roster. I mean, bringing in Rodon, that was supposed to be like a huge piece that you add to Cole, and the guy's already hurt. And this is what, like, this right. is what he does. I get guys that are either hurt or have a history of being hurt, and I bring them in, and I hope somehow, some way, they're going to heal. You know, and that just, it didn't happen again. So Michael, I'm with you on that statement, but look, what's fair is fair. Judge's numbers, you can't deny. He hasn't had his Yankee moment yet. And thanks for the call, Michael. He hasn't had a true Yankee moment yet. 2017, he was good. But I'm looking for the series, like, when you just said, like that, that's his moment. Or the big game that we all go back to Tino's home run. And that's when, you know, we stopped complaining that he wasn't Don Mattingly after that home run. You know what I mean? And I think there has to be a moment like that where you just say, you're not winning this without him. Yeah, you know, A-Rod, 2009. Like everybody needed a moment where it's like, okay, we can forgive you. And Judge still needs to do that. So regular seasons are great. Great start to the season, comes up clutch. But just know, in the playoffs and playoff series, teams are dialed in. They know everything about you. So if you have a hole, they're going to expose it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll do a Han Solo with you for one more day. We'll get Bart back tomorrow, 800-919-3776. We'll get some friends on to join us throughout the rest of the show. Dan Graziano will join us in the next hour, talk some football with him and what's going on. Jets OTAs happening. The Jets bringing in somebody, trying out for punter. It's a name that you might not know, but does have a little history, so we'll discuss that. And Brendan Brown's going to join us, talk some hoops. There's a lot of basketball to talk with him over what we saw last night and what could go forward off of last night, because the Celtics avoided a sweep. We've never had it where both conference finals have swept. So the Lakers get swept. So the Nuggets go to the finals on a sweep. The Heat could have advanced to the finals on a sweep if they won last night, but they didn't. And it's amazing how one game can change your perspective on a series. Where now all of a sudden we're on Get Up this morning, and Greeny turns to me and asks me for the narrative that's now happening in the series. And I just simply said, while in NBA history, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, in Boston sports history, it has happened. And they are already channeling Kevin Millar and what happened with the Sox in 04. And that is, don't let us win a game. Well, they let them win a game. So can they come back? We'll get into all that too. But let's talk with you. 800-919-3776. Lou in Nashville. Hey, Lou.
Hey there. I have 2 points, if you can indulge me here. Okay. One of them is, I feel like Cashman has to be perfect, or he has to really do a good job, because he will never be fired by this organization.
Feels like it.
I mean, him and the owner are about the same age, and they've grown up together in the organization, you know? And I just feel like there is no way that man is leaving there, and so we have to pray that he does a great job.
Hal trusts him. You're right about that. Hal trusts him. You're right. Hal does trust Brian Cashman, and he believes in him. And they, you know, again, year by year, they win games. It's not like they ever have a losing record, but it's, in the end, you are judged by championships, and it has been over a decade now, well over a decade since the Yankees have won one.
And I have another side thing about basketball, mm-hmm. and it has to do with Doc Rivers. I'm not surprised that he got fired. And he's like one of these people that I feel like the media had built him to a point where he got the job. He never had any previous head coaching experience before he got a Celtic job. he is the epitome.
Yes, he was.
Of
he was head coach in Orlando before Boston. He was a head coach with the Magic.
Okay, I apologize. That's my mistake. Mm-hmm. But this is the other thing. I've never seen somebody do less with more than he's done in his whole career.
That's been his problem.
He's never had bad teams. He's had three Hall of Famers, first mm-hmm. ballot Hall of Famers, and he came away with one championship.
Yeah. Well, two finals appearances, one championship, lost to Kobe and Powell. But, you know, look, what you said, though, Lou, is not deniable about Doc. That's been what's chased him for the last 10 years is what he had with the Clippers, what he's had with the Sixers, and he hasn't been able to get out of the second round. Like, he just hasn't been able to put it all together, and that's why the record is. It's like 17-33, I think he was, in games where he could close out a series. I believe that's the right. I mean, that's an unbelievable record. How could that be? You're on the verge of closing out a series, and he couldn't get it done. So that's a major issue. Lonnie in Harlem, what's up, Lonnie?
Hey, Alan, what's going on? Sorry about yesterday. I didn't call in to keep you busy and all
apologize.
Of that.
No, it's all good. You don't have to apologize.
Shout out to my people, the company. But, yeah, you was talking about the Yankees and everything and how usually, you know, people like us Yankee fans, we have to sit through the dolls and the injuries. So, basically, what I'm thinking is, like, the last couple years, if you really think about it, we really haven't really been able to see what the full roster can look like because we've always dealt with injuries.
It's always something, right? That has been the problem
during the season.
But that's what. But you know what, Lonnie? But that's what Cashman has fallen back on. Is you know if we're healthy, you could look at how good they could be if we had all our guys and all that stuff. So this isn't what we expected to have, and we had to scramble and put this together. So it's really not fair to judge me on this. And I always say, but your track record is bringing in guys who have either are hurt or have a history of being hurt. And that's not good. That's not good either. But Lonnie, you know what? You mention the company a lot every time when you call in. Can I ask you a question?
Sure. I mean, what's going on?
I'm curious, like, what's the beef that goes on? Because, you know, obviously we're new coming back to this whole thing locally. So Bart and I, we were national. We really weren't involved in all this. What's the deal between the morning show an afternoon drive? What's the whole story? I need to understand what this is about.
I don't want to speak out of place because I technically don't listen to TNKS anymore after what two of the hosts on that show did. But
what did they do?
I'd rather not, you know, Alan. You know, I don't want to air out nobody's dirty laundry. It's already out there. They did what they did. And as far as I'm concerned, listen. Alan, like, it basically what all started it, I think, is because, you know, for cross promotion, TMKS would take shots at DNR. DNR would do the same thing with TMKS. And then I feel like it got a little bit too far out of hand when Ray said a certain thing and then Michael said something else, which I felt was way out of line. And then it died down after that. And then one of the company members had called TMKS and Don said something that I didn't know he was basically, you know, making a joke about. But then also within that same call, Peter basically tried to refer to us as a cult.
Oh boy.
And I don't respect that. That's honestly disrespectful.
Are you guys all going to be at the what was going on? The tailgate that
man.
Do you guys all going to that? You going to the pre-show? You doing the whole thing? Are you guys doing the pre-show, getting on the train, hanging out with Rick and Dave?
Everything.
The whole thing.
You doing everything.
Sitting right next to Rick.
I know I am. Well, I would love to sit right next to Rick, but unfortunately, me and the president of the company, Josh,
right.
We pretty much organized everything, and I got us into Section 129.
Nice.
And it's basically about 60 of us.
Wow.
So yeah, we'll be rolling deep, representing the company because that's what the company does. We show up, we show out. This is what we do for Dave and Rick. We also, you know, we used to do it for TMKS too. I don't think that'll be happening anymore. But
wow.
Listen, when Bart and Hahn has the show, we'll be there too. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're not big enough. We're not big enough to have like outings and stuff.
Yeah, you
like
are.
That.
You already had a show at Margaritaville. Unfortunately, me and Josh wanted to come to that, but we couldn't make that. And you also already met Josh and you met Josh and you met Steve Brzezinski too. Those are two company members.
I did.
So yeah, we represent well, and I mean, I didn't really want to do that, Alan, but I appreciate you doing that. I guess like so we could just air it out. But
yeah, no, I just want to know what's going on. Like, I need to understand, because first of all, like the show beef thing is to me corny, because everybody's friend. Everybody's kind of friendly. Like we all kind of
right.
Like so this whole idea that we get mad. Oh, they're mad. That doesn't exist.
You also corny. Know what it is too. You know what it is too. I know I'm taking up a lot of airtime, which I appreciate.
No, I'm learning. This is great. It's education for me.
You know what it also is too. Right now, it's the whole Peter wedding thing, which. Peter, I don't know what's going on with that because, like I said, I don't listen to the show.
Right.
But as you know, when RJ Santillo got married to his beautiful wife, Ange, so-called Peter sent the gift to the place where they got married or whatever.
The registry?
Yeah, he sent it to the place where they got married instead of to their house.
To the reception?
Reception, and then they got sent back to him. So basically, long story short, Peter RJ didn't get his gift till like 3-4 months after he got married.
Wow!
So now that's a whole thing. And
but he got a gift.
Peter didn't get married.
But he got it.
He got it. He got it eventually, and then now that's a whole new thing.
This is so dramatic. This is dramatic.
It's a lot. It's like a whole, you know. But like I said, I just think it's all for cross promotion. I don't really think they have any real beef or anything like that. But to me, it's all for play. But once when that whole Ray and Michael thing, that kind of got out of, that was a little too much to me.
You didn't like that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't think nobody would. I mean, but it is what it is.
I know both guys. I mean, you know, it's all, like I said, they want you to do this stuff. Call each other out. Call each other out. It's great.
Right.
It's great for ratings. And then you look at the ratings. You're like, is it, though? Is it really great for ratings? I think.
And it gets a little too personal, too, sometimes.
Well, you're right, because it's silly. It's silly.
I just want to ask you a question, because you brought it up, and I brought it up to you already.
All right.
I know you live in Long Island, sir. Mm-hmm. Can you try to at least make the last two back hours at least an hour of the show? Because. Like, I just want to let you know, a lot of the company we do, you know, a lot of us listen to the show, and a lot of us do love Bart and Han too. So it would be nice if you
want me to go to the DiPietro and Rothenberg thing, their show.
It would be nice.
Publicans, whatever it's called.
Or you could just pop up to the tailgate, you know, just to say hi, and then you know make your way into the city. Well, actually, no, you can't, because then around that time you'd be working.
A little busy.
Technically, yeah, you would have to pop into public games just to say hi. And I understand.
Yeah, I'll say here's the first thing I'll say about would I go to the show? No. The other thing I would say is I probably you know more than likely lately I've been on Get Up a lot, and I'm guessing I'd probably be working at that
time. You would be.
So there's
you
that.
Might be,
and then the third thing I'll say is I'm probably the last person they want to see anyway. So I'll just leave it.
I don't
you
know
guys
why
have fun.
You keep saying that. I don't know why you keep.
No, it's all. It's
that. Well, maybe Dave, because he might get a little jealous.
I don't think. Here's what I want you to do, though, Lonnie. I want you and the company to do whatever it takes to make sure you're sitting with Dave and Rick on the train together, going to this thing. Like you guys.
Oh no, we're doing that. We're going to be like the Secret Service. We're going to be like the Secret Service. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
That.
Nobody can come near him. You guys just circle around and put them in the cocoon.
Well, funny thing is, Dave has already referred to us as the Manson family and the mole people. So
perfect.
That's technically what we are. We're their bodyguards.
That's great. I'm looking forward
to it. I don't think Rick really needs one. Maybe Dave.
Well, you'd be surprised. Lonnie, always great to talk to you, my man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.